Welcome to Level Up. I'm Sherelle.
And I'm Danny. And this is the podcast where we talk about health, fitness, and mindset. Not making physical progress? You need to listen to this.
You know what I just thought of? You know those ads? It's like, not making the progress that you would like.
Well, this that's is what I thought you. To do.
Yeah, well, that's what we're actually talking about today. In all seriousness, though, a lot of people, when it comes to their own health and fitness and nutrition and body composition goals, they don't make the progress that they would like. And that's why today we're going to be breaking down and talking through some of the most common mistakes that are related to nutrition. And let's be real, if you're listening to this, you probably find it easy to get to the gym 3-4 days a week and tick the box in that area, but nutrition is often where the majority of people struggle the most. And that's simply because it's so related to a lot of our behaviors, our habits, our lifestyle, our culture, our belief system. Like, nutrition really is caught up in a lot of things. And it's why most people really do struggle with it.
Yeah, it's really, like, it's simple, but then it's not. Because as you said, there's so much tied into nutrition, and it's comfort. Mm. It's comfort food when you have a sad day. You know, even in the movies, you just get broken up with, and stereotypically, you know, the characters, they're crying with their best mates, having that tub of ice cream to make yourself feel better. Like, it's culture. You know, try visiting an ethnic grandma and saying, no, I don't want your food. Like, game over.
Yep.
Things like that. So although the rules and principles of nutrition may seem simple on a piece of paper, when you throw in emotion, life, family, friends, connection, habits, it can be a beast.
100%. Nutrition is really simple, but that doesn't mean it's easy. And I think a lot of people get that confused, as they go, just calories in, calories out. Oh, calorie deficit. Oh, eat less, move more. Like, if it was that easy, I don't think we'd be going through, like, a crisis of obesity.
Literally.
Let's be real. And I really wanted to do today's episode because I also just want to normalize that just understanding how to track your food's not enough. Like, everyone's used MyFitnessPal in this day and age. Like, nearly everyone's downloaded the app. Whether they know how to track properly or they actually do the things is another story. But nutrition is simple in theory and hard in complex application, right? And that's what coaching's for at the end of the day, is like being able to make things easier to digest and manage along the way. But nutrition is not just about calories. And I get so sick of people on the internet just saying, like, calorie deficit.
Mm.
Come on. Like, these people don't actually work with people.
No.
That's the first. They don't understand. Like, it's like patronizing when people do that. It's like, do you think that people don't know what a calorie is? Or, like, do you think that people don't know that they should be eating a little bit less? Like, that's not the problem. The problem's not the problem. The problem is the strategy, the approach, and the habits that they're practicing on a daily basis. But I know today's episode, we're really going to go into a little bit more detail and almost like use this as a checklist, like, essentially. If you're not making the progress that you would like and you're being consistent in the gym, that's another thing. If you're being consistent in the gym and you're not making the physical progress that you'd like, I can guarantee that you're not ticking the box in one of these areas.
Definitely. Safe to guarantee that. So the first one is not having a goal or a plan. Mm-hmm. And so many people just say, I'm going to start a mini cut now. And then they just cut and restrict and fall into all these bad behaviors. And then it's like, okay, what's your actual plan? What's your timeline? Mm-hmm. Have you broken it down with educated steps? Why is the first point of call for a lot of people just to go super aggressive and then not even making it to the finish line?
Mm.
If you have a clear goal and plan and timeline, it takes emotion out of it, because you might be at a certain point in your menstrual cycle, or things might have happened to you and you've had a bad day, and then you get thrown off the plan. This is a good anchor to come back to and go, no, these are my expectations. I need to lose 100 grams a week or whatever number it is. Takes the emotion out of it, and you just revert back to the plan and go, no, I'm okay. I'm on track. I need to do these behaviors for this amount of time.
Mm.
Because it's quite miserable if it's like, if you don't have an end date.
Oh.
Imagine trying to change your behavior and in your head it's like, okay, I'm climbing a mountain, but I don't actually know how tall the mountain is. You will give up.
Yeah.
Your morale will be rock bottom.
Mm.
So it's so motivating, even with comp prep, for something so extreme. We knew that we had a 16 or 20 week prep. Cool. We're doing these actions for this long. there is the final date there, and you just push on.
Yeah, it's so true, and honestly, it's why challenges, comp preps, it's why these things are so popular, is because we, as humans, need a start and an end date. Like, we, this is why semesters exist in schools.
Yeah.
Like, no one's doing anything forever. That's exhausting. But if we can have a start, a middle, and an end date, and benchmarks to meet along the way, you're not going to rely on motivation, because you're actually just going to be having momentum and build consistency doing that. And one of the biggest problems that I see a lot in coaching is that people have either no goal at all, no plan at all to achieve the goal, or they've set the wrong goal.
Yeah.
And I see that one a lot, like unrealistic expectations. And I think, again, we talk about a lot of this in a lot of different contexts of where these actually come from. But if you're setting the wrong goal, you're setting yourself up for failure. So knowing what your goal should be, and often I have to do this a lot, like reframing wise, like if someone's got like 25 kilos to lose, or they want to get back to this amount of weight or whatever it might be, I'm like, oh, when did you weigh that last? And they're like, oh, 10 years ago before I have kids.
Yeah.
And you're like, absolutely, like, horrible goal to have. Yeah. Or maybe it's the right goal, but maybe it needs to happen in stages.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to achieve everything all at once. And I think goals have to be specific, like a SMART goal, right? They have to be specific. They have to be measurable. You have to have a time around it. You have to have benchmarks. And you also have to have the right plan to get there, because a goal is an outcome of following a plan. So making sure that you've actually got a goal and not just being like, oh, I just want to lose a couple of kilos, or I want to eat healthier. What does that even mean? Those aren't goals, they're actions. So think about what your bigger goal is and then break that down and make sure that you're as specific as you can. Most people suck at doing this on their own, to be honest. Most people can't really set a goal properly, and that's okay, because we're not really taught how to do it. But a really good framework is just making sure that you've got a SMART goal.
Yep.
And making sure that you lay that out clearly.
Yep. And then once you have that SMART goal, you need the right strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So another mistake that we see is people just are following the wrong strategies and advice. And that's why we can't recommend having a coach enough, because they take you and your goal and your ideas, you put it all together, then you map it out into a beautiful plan and give you the tools and strategies and mindset in order to execute it. Because your goal can be rock solid, but then if you do not know how to get there, it's like trying to get to a destination, but then you don't have a map.
Mm.
The coaches can help you get that map straight away and give you the right plan that you need.
Mm. The right advice for the wrong person is still the wrong advice.
Yeah.
Right at the end of the day. And just because it works for someone else doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Yes.
And a lot of people take other people's strategies or other people's goals or other people's benchmarks and they just apply it to themselves. And it just doesn't work like that.
No, really, like, doesn't. Day on a plate doesn't work. Or following my workout doesn't work.
It kills me. And we spoke about this previously in another podcast about like beginner, intermediate, advanced, but like beginner mindset is literally taking someone else's goal, someone else's program, someone else's body, and then just expecting the same outcome. Like it really doesn't work like that. So you have to be more critical. And obviously Danny and I are advocates for like investing in yourself, but you have to learn what works for you, not just physically, but also like mentally. You have to know what works. And we're all humans at the end of the day. Like, we all struggle with accountability and compliance and motivation. I mean, I'd be lying if I said that I'm motivated to do things all the time. I'd be lying if I said that I always tick the boxes in every area. Absolutely not. I'm human. This is why coaches have coaches.
Yeah.
This is why we also practice and preach these things as well, because it's hard. And I think a lot of people feel bad for needing accountability or like needing guidance or like needing, I don't know, help goal setting. And I'm just like, I know no one teaches this. So like, we're all humans at the end of the day. And you see this a lot with coaches, right? Where they have imposter syndrome because maybe they're telling their clients to do things and they're not doing them. And like, they're humans too. We're humans. Like, we're coaches, we're humans. And everyone needs help at the end of the day to apply the right strategies and not get too caught up emotionally in your own progress, because we can remove our emotion from it. Doesn't matter. It's just, we're data driven when it comes to an outcome.
Yeah, particularly when you're so new to this and you don't really know if your method is working, because there's no rule around this method will give you results in this time frame. Everyone is so different. So I hear it a lot with people. They're like, yeah, I tried this thing, but I didn't know if it was working, so I didn't put my whole heart and soul into it. And then I kind of tried this one. Then I tried this one. And now I'm just exhausted. Yeah. And all my money's gone because I'm just trying all these different things. And, you know, you get that decision fatigue. So why wouldn't you just work close with someone? Mm. You literally get to your destination so much quicker, and you can learn from their mistakes in the past, because that's what a coach is. We've done the trial and error. We've done the hard work, and we're here to teach you how to do it in a quicker amount of time. Mm. Like, it's foolproof.
Decision fatigue really is like a big thing with nutrition, because I see a lot of people, and look, when it comes to tracking, the goal is not to track your food forever. Like, I have periods where I'm tracking when I'm working towards something specific, and then when I'm not tracking, when I'm living.
Yep.
And I think that people get so caught in the trap of like letting the tool control them. So they don't know how to practice positive, helpful eating habits without some level of restriction. Right. And when we looked at restriction in terms of like a scale, like on one level, meal plans are as restrictive as they come. It's like you eat this or you don't. Like, you can't pick and choose. Like, here's your meals, you follow it. And then right on the opposite end of the line is intuitive eating.
Mm.
And it's like, you do whatever you want. No restrictions. Fuel your body. Do your thing. Right. It's like two extremes. I feel like in the middle is tracking, and we have to have some level of not restriction, but we have some rigidity, right, to keep us working towards something. I think that's healthy for people.
Yep.
It's the same as us having boundaries. Like, I have a bedtime, you know, I have a certain amount of work that I allow myself to do in a day. I have a certain amount of sessions that I want to hit in a week. Like, we all have parameters and boundaries, and it's just about applying that same concept that you do in multiple areas of your life into your nutrition as well.
Yep.
Like, just hitting macros probably isn't enough for most people, because often they can sacrifice habits and food quality to meet a number. And we've seen this so much.
Even our comp preps.
Literally, I saw this reel the other day of this chick, and she's like, I made this protein cookie, and it was literally like an egg with protein powder whipped together, put in the microwave.
Oh, that's depressing.
Yuck. I'm like, no wonder everyone has gut issues.
Eat the cookie.
Like, just stevia have a cookie.
Is so bad for you. All those healthy, quote unquote, desserts are so bad
just
for your
guts.
Just
have a cookie.
Have a cookie and move
track
on.
Track it, and then have some steak for dinner.
Because you know what used to happen? Like, I would try and have the healthy, shitty option with all the sweetener, and then I'd eat it and then be like,
gut issues.
And then I'd just eat the normal thing straight after that anyway, because I'm like, actually, I should have just eaten the normal cookie.
Yeah.
This tastes like shit. I'm still more hungry because everything spiked because I've put everything artificial in my body.
Constipated.
Well, no, I'm not going to talk about
Soz, just
I just get really gassy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We don't digest and the sugars.
I told you the story about this is why I stopped having sweetener, because, like, I used to have my oats and protein and then a little bit of sweetener right before deadlifting. Oh. You need a strong brace with deadlifting. And when you're bracing and pushing, like, air just comes out. If it's building up, thank God the music was on. Like, it was embarrassing. Actually, Paul did get on film. That's the one time that I fired in front of Paul because I hate doing it.
Oh, my God.
I just felt that person, and he caught it on camera after
laugh?
A deadlift. He was pissing himself. He waits for the day for me to drop my guts in front of him. I'm like, you keep waiting, mate. That's not me. So I cut out sweetener because I was so traumatized by that experience.
Wow, so learn from Danny.
And it's dangerous. You can really do your back if you lose your brace from farting. It's so dangerous. I know someone who's actually like done a near disc herniation.
Sorry,
just
I shouldn't
from farting.
Laugh. I shouldn't
no, it's
laugh.
Funny as. But I'm like, I'm sick of this sweetener bullshit. It's just really ruining my life.
Look, we have done some questionable things in our time, right? Haven't we? We've both done some questionable things when, like, comp prep was so extreme. Like, I just did crazy stuff, like eating just like 3 cucumbers a day and, you know, dipped in sugar or stevia, I should say, just to try and give it some flavor. And, you know, I, from competing and having so much rigidity in my diet and food selection and food choices, like, there was probably only like 10 to 15 foods that I ate consistently during that season. I developed all these intolerances, all these gut issues that honestly took me years to resolve.
What were the worst to bring back in?
Like, peanut butter?
What? That would give you a gut issue.
Massive issues. I became intolerant to lentils, so peanuts, and broccoli.
Okay.
As well, like a lot of FODMAPs, to be honest. Like, I developed a lot of food intolerances to FODMAPs. Same, gassy, but like distended, painful, and just lots of other weird symptoms
too.
Intolerances. Yep, became lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Just because when you cut it out, you become intolerant to it because your body doesn't know how to break it down and digest it.
It doesn't create the enzymes.
Yeah, you actually lose the digestive enzymes to break those foods down.
Yeah.
So that's why when you reintroduce them, your body doesn't, it's like, what the hell? And it just doesn't know what to do. I experienced that for years during competing. Mm. I cut out gluten, I cut out dairy, I cut out peanut butter, which killed me.
I know how much you love peanut butter.
I know. I cut out all these things and I developed all these gut issues. And you know the thing that actually helped?
What?
Reintroducing it all. So now I eat dairy. I eat shock fucking horror. I have real ice cream. I have real bread. I have
not Halo
real
top.
Sugar. None of this Halo top shit. I eat real protein. Like, it's not rocket science, but whole foods.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I also went through lots of skin issues, which we had Lindy on once, and she was talking about the relationship between your gut and your skin, which is, I 100% agree, and stress. Like, it's all interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
But when I removed it all, I did notice improvements, but it's not sustainable. Nor is it necessary long term, because we can develop intolerances. Doesn't mean they're there forever, right? Yes. And we can reintroduce things. So now I drink milk and I make sure that I include milk and cheese and stuff throughout the week so I can allow my body to break down lactose and like not develop that, because I like dairy and I don't want to have to not eat it. And like my skin's great. Like remember when I used
your
to break out with
flawless.
Extra?
Your skin's flawless.
Thank you. Maybe
you don't even use Paris filter. I still use Paris filter, guys, just letting you know. Because my skin was awesome during comp prep. It's funny that you said that. It must have been just because I literally cut everything out. Like, but then I had no period. So.
But then I thought, you lose some. That's what I mean. And look, our body will respond to stress in different ways.
Yeah.
Like we all have a low-hanging fruit that just gets attacked first. For some people, it's their mental health. For others, it's their menstrual cycle. For some people, it's their skin. Like everyone has like, you know, no one's worse or better. We all have our thing. But I did. Remember when I was covered in eczema?
Actually, yeah, like, your eyes.
It was so bad. I had.
What was that from again?
I had perioral dermatitis for... Oh, guys, like 18 months. And when I shared it, when I shared my skin, because I hid it for a long time, it was embarrassing, it was painful.
But you can't even really put makeup on that stuff,
No,
hey?
You can't. You're not allowed to put products on it or anything. When I started sharing some things about it, like so many people, like I was inundated with the amount of people that also have it.
Yeah.
Because it's very common in women. And it's also very common when you're going through hormonal changes.
Okay.
So a lot of people will get it during pregnancy or when they're breastfeeding or just at stressful periods in their life. And this is actually really helpful for anyone that might feel like they've got it, because it's very different to eczema. And if you treat it the same way or if you use steroid creams, it makes it worse. And I didn't notice this.
Wait, so what's yours called then?
So perioral dermatitis.
Yeah.
It is it sort of presents similar to eczema, but it only goes around perioral membrane surfaces. So this is going to be around your mouth, around your eyes, around your nose. And it comes when you damage the lining of your skin. It's around membranes.
And mucous membranes,
yeah, your
I'd
mucous
imagine.
Membrane.
Oh, that's
right. So it's called the permeability of your skin, so what gets through. So there's lots of different things. Stress was the biggest factor for me. I thought it was dairy for a long time, so I cut that. I tried so much. I spent so much money, time, energy trying to figure out what the fuck was going on. It was very closely related to stress for me and hormones as well. So when I, you know, because I used to do my temperature, and it was very related to my menstrual cycle around different periods. Anyways, it took me so long to figure this out. I went on all the supplements, did all the things. Every month with my period, it would come. And I feel for people that have skin problems, because it's so painful.
Yeah.
And like you can't hide it when it's on your face, you know. And like with things like eczema and dermatitis, like my eyes would swell up. Mm. And with my job, I'm so in the camera. You know, like it's, you can't just hide yourself. And I'm like, fuck, this really sucks. Anyways, moral of the story is like, I tried all the things, removed everything that I thought, nothing worked. And I was like, what could it be? And it turned out to be stress.
Yeah. See, stress is the underlying cause.
Moved away
cause
from Melbourne,
everything.
Slowed down a little bit.
How good.
Started like allowing myself to do more things. Like I removed a lot of rigidity with nutrition, and I like went out more, and I had a couple of fucking drinks, and I reintroduced dairy, and I did all the things that every professional told me not to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, stress.
Because you can get like, we've had some amazing professionals on the podcast, but you gotta, like, you can't apply every single tip that they give.
No.
That's my opinion, because like what you were highlighting, you can stress, you can create more stress while trying to apply things that are meant to reduce stress.
Mm.
Like, look, I'm cheekily drinking out of a plastic bottle, that's bad, but if I was running late for this podcast, had to find like a titanium bottle or something, like a bottle that wasn't plastic, it would increase my stress to the point where it's more than just have the plastic water bottle because it's convenient. Things like that, or just cutting out all these foods, like, it's meant to create weight loss and health and vitality, but no, you can actually push it the opposite way. Then your body has a stress response because you've starved yourself too much, and then, you know, you can get ill that way. Yeah. So you and I, we've gone through the ring with all this stuff, trial and error on everything. But our happy medium now, and what we practice and what we preach, is just, yes, have a plan, achieve your goals, but then just, you can't get too caught up in all of the fine details. Yeah. You can still lose weight and be in a calorie deficit, but including those beautiful whole foods and still going on to our next point, enjoying weekends. Mm. A lot of people are so disciplined. You hear it all the time. Monday to Friday, I stay on track. Then the weekend comes and it all goes down the drain. Then I start again on Monday. And then it goes through that exhausting cycle, which I really empathize for people who are stuck in that. But we've all dabbled in that mindset and it just doesn't work, because why would you just not be equally as flexible and restrictive 7 days a week rather than really hard for five and then just let it all go for two? It's not good.
Because people don't know how to have less extreme goals and stay compliant.
Yeah.
They don't. Most people need some sort of hard end date or like some sort of repercussion, that if they're not super disciplined, that there's like some consequence of not following through. Like, most people can't sit in a maintenance phase. They're in and out. They're all in or they're all out. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but if your diet, your nutrition, or your lifestyle makes you anxious, like, if your diet makes you anxious, it's not healthy.
No.
Like, if you can't stick to your diet on the weekend, it's not the right diet for you. You need to find some. It's so cliche. Like, everyone talks about consistency, but what does that even mean? What's that actually mean? It's just another thing that people say. Consistency just means like finding something that's like 80% that you can stick with, rather than being 100%, like 10% of the time, and then doing nothing for the rest of the days. Like, you have to be able to stick with something on the weekends.
Yeah.
If you're not doing the things on the weekends, you're going to undo your work from the week, right? Like, you really will. You really can undo your week's worth of work by not following your plan on the weekend and just going out and doing whatever and guessing, right?
Absolutely.
Until you've earned the right and built the foundational habits to understand, like truly understand portion sizing and guesstimating calories. And even that, like, it's so flawed. Like, most people can't estimate calories properly. They severely underestimate the energy in foods. So it's an advanced strategy, in my opinion. Until you've got those basic skills, like, don't expect to achieve a specific targeted goal.
Yeah.
Unless you're at maintenance, right? Like, if you're just living your life and your goals aren't anything geared towards objective numbers or targets, or you're not really working towards meeting a deadline, then you can have that flexibility. But I think people just need to be aware.
Yes.
Like, if you've got a goal, it is like our responsibility as coaches to be like, yes, but it comes with this sacrifice. Like,
yes.
Everything has a sacrifice. Everything has a cost. Nothing worth achieving is going to come easy, right? There's always going to be a level of work. And sometimes people just don't want that. They don't, like, they might think they want the goal, but then when they hear what it takes to achieve it, they're like, oh, no, I actually don't want to do that. Great. You've at least recognized that you've set the wrong goal, but most people have unrealistic expectations. And then no one wants to have hard conversation these days.
No.
Like, no coach wants to be like, well, you're not doing the shit. Like, what do you expect? Like, I think more people need to like lean into that and just give honest feedback and advice and be transparent with what anything takes and achieves, because you can't go Monday to Friday being super rigid and then Saturday and Sunday just let everything go.
Because you're starving come the weekend.
Yeah.
And then it's that voice in your head. It's like, well, I won't be able to have chocolate again until the next weekend. Yeah. So if you're the type who has the discipline to have a little bit of chocolate or whatever your favorite food is every day, then by the time Friday clocks off and it's Saturday, you won't have to say, oh, I can only eat this, you know, on the weekend, because you have a little bit every day. Yeah. And the novelty wears off and you don't crave it as much. We all know what cravings feel like, but if you have it a bit every day, the novelty wears right off. Yeah. So the only time, this is like me talking as of now, but when I was in comp prep, I feel like it's just so different. And I know there are people who did have chocolate in comp prep and all of that, but when, like, our body is a machine and it needs fuel, I just found I would rather get the carbs from something that wasn't the size of a small square to fill my stomach.
Yeah.
Because if I had that little square, that would have just pushed my calories up for 1 minute of enjoyment, and then I would have been so hungry. So I was very rigid with comp prep, still flexible and tracking macros and things, but like I just didn't find it worth it having something that was so calorie dense but so tiny in my stomach. Like, yeah, so that was interesting. But then I would never go back to that. I would never, if someone said, would you dream of looking like how you did on stage again, I'd go, fuck no. I don't want that six pack anymore. Yeah. People think they want a six pack. You don't.
No.
Unless you're competing on stage, and that's about it, guys.
Yeah. Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying the episode. If you are, make sure that you take a screenshot, upload it to your socials, and don't forget to tag us. A goal is an outcome of a process. You need to want the process. And like you said, you do not want the process again of what it took.
No.
Like, everyone thinks that they're working towards a goal, but the goal is an outcome, right? The goal is an outcome. So you better love the thing that you have to do to get that. And I think that's where most people get it wrong, is they don't know the process. They've never done the process. And like what you said, I remember being 46 kilograms, very light, in one of my first ever shows, still thinking I wasn't lean enough.
Yeah, it's a bit fucked.
It's fucked in the head when I think about it. I was so, like, that's body dysmorphia, right? And most people will never get to that, thank God. Most people will never get that light and lean. But I remember literally thinking, like, this is messed up. My brain's a bit messed up.
Oh, really?
I remember thinking, like, I feel like I'm not lean enough, but I'm the leanest I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I know I'm a little bit unhealthy at the moment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like I remember being like, because that's what, like, that's what competing is. Competing is absolutely unhealthy, 110% unhealthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Fight me. It's unhealthy. Any extreme sport is unhealthy at the end of the day. But I remember that so vividly. I remember the day. I remember the moment. I remember thinking, like, this is pretty unhealthy, but my brain's still telling me that I'm not lean enough. It's so weird, but that's body dysmorphia. When you look in the mirror and your reflection is warped, like what you're saying back to yourself, what you're seeing is warped in your brain. I don't know if you had a similar experience. Maybe this was just me.
Look, I'm
on.
Lucky I didn't, but it is a red flag that does come up.
Yeah.
And it's really cool that you were able to work through that. But for the people that are listening and go, oh, shit, like, yeah, that sounds a little bit like me, and we love saying this, see a professional about it, because there are so many amazing, you know, when I would look for clients and for loved ones, it was hard to find really good professionals to seek help from this. Like, the hospital system's not ideal, but there are so many amazing clinical psychologists now that really can help through those thoughts, because it is normal to get those thoughts to some extent.
Yes.
Anyone who's bodybuilding is going to think, I'm not lean enough, because the goal is to be
get as lean as possible.
So that's normal. But then if you start to notice yourself or your loved ones or your friends just, you know, slipping down a path organically and naturally and slowly, you know, just know that there are resources, and it is really important to actually seek out a psychologist, not an online coach.
Yes.
I'm going to say this in every nutrition episode we ever do, because it's just bullshit what goes on out there. Just seek a real professional, not an online coach, for that level of help that people need.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh. Like, I speak with a lot of women every week that want coaching, and there is a big percentage, like, I think a lot of people would be surprised of, like, how many people in your circle around you have or had active eating disorders and experience that. And obviously, being the women's health movement, and it's just such a prevalent thing with women. I mean, like, we're so attached to our body image, and just the way the world works now. And it's always my thing is anyone has like an eating disorder, especially active, even past, like, are you working with a professional at the moment? Because it's so important to know what this space is for and what that space is for. And you need to, like, everyone needs to know what their triggers are. Like, they need to have that self-awareness around, like, yes, weighing myself is okay. No, weighing myself is not okay. Like, we need to fully take ownership over those things and do that work as well, especially when it's just so prevalent and so common.
Yeah, definitely. So that we sort of jumped down to the next topic, but it happened naturally. So that was your relationship with food.
Yes.
You know, that's number one.
Yeah.
You need to really, and it's not easy to admit. I mean, I'm lucky to not have been in that, but people very, very, very close to me I've been around it so much. And I'm sure we've all got someone that we go, fuck, I'm just so worried about them. But and it's not nice. It's very uncomfortable for both people, but you have to seek help because you're having a fitness goal and to get on stage and to try and look like your Fitspo influencer is really not going to help.
It's not appropriate. And no. I know that this is just my personal opinion, but I just don't think that competing is a good idea for people that have had eating disorders or eating disorders. It's just not, it's not helpful because an eating disorder, it's not a food problem, right? And also when you're competing and doing anything extreme, right, the same could be said about 8-week challenges or 75 hard or anything that does require extreme habits and behaviors to the point where you don't even know they're extreme. That just becomes what you have to do. It's a slippery slope. It is such a slippery slope. And it's just something that as professionals, we are so aware of and so cautious of because we see it all the time, but you might not feel that in yourself. You might not recognize some of those habits and behaviors. So always seek help if you need to.
Yeah. Interesting spin that we always look.
Oh, we always end down this rabbit
but
hole.
But I suppose it's good though because it's so close to our heart. And at the end of the day, your guys' health and well-being is our number one priority. We're not just going to spin some bullshit about the happy land of the calorie deficit will change your life and have this nutrition goal. Like it's bullshit. Mm. It's like, it's not for everyone, but now we're giving advice on people who do feel like this is a cool goal for them to have, but cutting out all that extreme, you know, things, we don't promote extreme behaviors.
Yeah.
And I know some people can't help it, but then some people can help it. So this podcast is for the people who are doing it on purpose. We're saying, no, there is a better way to achieve your goal and you can still love life.
Yeah. And look, something that I have noticed, and I don't know if this is like an actual thing or not, but something that I've noticed is that a lot of people that have a negative relationship with food or themselves struggle the most with maintaining their body weight or practicing healthy habits when it comes to nutrition. And I don't know the correlation there. I don't know the correlation, but I've just noticed that a lot of people that don't have a good relationship with food, maybe they were bullied or whatever it might have been growing up, they've got some things going on or they've had a past with mental health, particularly around food and body image, they're the ones that struggle to maintain a healthy body composition. And they're always trying to lose weight. They're always trying to gain that back, but they're the ones that feel the most restricted, right? Whereas I personally find a lot of people that do have a healthy relationship with food, where they fuel their body to train hard, they don't overly restrict, they don't cut out all, like everything, they allow themselves a little bit of chocolate if they want to, they loosen the reins, they actually find it easier to maintain body weight and their body composition that they would like to. I don't know. I don't know if you've experienced
or noticed
that.
Well, it's because my theory, that's a really awesome point. I just think a lot of people just use food as comfort.
Yeah.
And like if you've gone through something really bad in your life, you know, you do use that and you might be holding more stress than the average person. And then, you know, like what are your hormones and cortisol like? And sometimes it is just nice just to have a meal when you're just, you know, trying to cover up things from the past. So I don't know, like it makes sense. And then sometimes the healthiest people just don't think about food. Like I've got some mates and they're super healthy, fit, yeah, whatever, happy. They're like, oh, should I start tracking? I'm like, fuck no. I go, no, don't change whatever this is that you've got going for
you. It's amazing.
You're loving your life. Like remember the time before we knew what tracking was?
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need to learn it as well. So, yeah, if you're like fine doing what you're doing and reaching your goals, you don't need to worry about this stuff.
Yeah, like if you're happy with where you are, like you don't need to change anything.
No, you know but they might see someone and go, maybe I should do that bodybuilding show.
No. Don't do it.
Leave it.
Look, each to their own. Everyone's going to have their own goals and their own aspirations and whatever. I just think it's about making informed decisions.
Yes.
Informed decisions. Like if you want to start doing anything, you just need to know the pros and the cons. Because like I said, there's always a cost to everything. Mm-hmm. And once you learn certain things, you can't unlearn them. Like exactly. Once I do think that for the majority of people, understanding energy balance and calories and those things is a great skill to have.
Yeah.
Like I honestly think that we should be normalized. It should be normalized and taught to us from an early age and just normalized. Not something that we do just for body composition. I just don't think it should be. It's like just understanding metrics, right? Yeah. And just understanding energy balance.
Learn what you're putting in your body.
Learning what it's you're good. Putting in your body, right? Micros and macros, like yeah. both. So I think it's a great skill to have, but we also need to know what the underlayer is. And this is one that was sort of building on from like keeping momentum, but habits. Like what you're eating is just as important as how much you're eating. And I know a lot of people disagree with that, which is wild in 2024 that people are like, oh, it doesn't matter. Calories are king. Like calories are all that matter.
No, it's people still say that.
People still say that.
Probably on TikTok.
Heaps of people say that still. They still do. Let's and I'm like, people. It's, I don't know. Like, do you want to lose weight or do you want to be healthy and have a good body composition? Because they're two different things.
Yeah.
Like if weight loss is all that you care about, sure, just eat less and move more. But that's not what most people want. Right, they want to look strong, they want to build muscle, they want to feel confident. They don't want to be hungry 24/7.
Yeah.
Right? So that's when macros and micros and food quality, habits, relationship with food, behaviors, that's when all those things matter the most.
Yeah.
It's not just about how many calories you eat. If you are clinically obese and you need to lose as much weight as possible and you don't care where that weight comes from, then sure, just eat less and move more. That's going to work.
And that's when they get prescribed Ozempic and yeah, all that shit.
Yeah, and like weight loss medication and drugs is really popular
they're
at
like
the moment.
They're like amphetamines, I think. Like they really get you going.
Yeah,
like
they're well, not, they're very popular. Like I know a lot yeah. of people that – like I know a lot of people – I know a lot of people that pull the mental health card to get them like prescribed.
Yeah, that – yeah, it wouldn't
which
surprise me.
Is fucked up, to be honest.
Yeah.
If it's true, it's not, but –
it's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, just it, I just feel like
– that's just from lack of education.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I'm like we said at the start, simple, not necessarily easy. And this – I just look at – I'm like, if you just did X, Y, and Z and cleaned this thing up and implemented this small habit and went for a walk every day and ate a little bit more protein, like, over time you would achieve the results that you want. It's just going to take a little bit of hard work at the start.
Yeah.
A little bit of discipline, a little bit of momentum, a little bit of consistency, all these hard – like it's uncomfortable. It's not painful. It's just uncomfortable and that's what it takes. But small actions equal big outcomes and a lot of people are looking for the secret pill or the quick fix and it just doesn't exist. It does not exist and I really want to shake that into some people because everyone's looking for quick results and anything that's gained quickly is lost quickly, especially with nutrition.
Yeah, but you know why? Because if you – and I follow a lot of these – I'm not going to call them conspiracy pages.
Yeah,
I'm
love just going like, to fall – like, convince me.
Yeah, they're like informed pages that I follow because I like to question things and they show photos from like the 1980s, 1990s. Mm. People's body composition were – fairly healthy. But in this day and age, fast forward, there's more gyms, there's more information, people have better resources to be healthy, yet, as you said, we're in an obesity epidemic. People want the quick fix. Mm. You know, a lot of, how do I say it? A lot of things that we're fed in the news, marketing, packaging, food, processed foods, they are designed to not really make us that healthy. I don't know. I'm not going to go on a tangent on, you know, how much pharmacological medicine makes money, you know, for
what
people.
What do you mean they're not designed to make us healthy?
I'm just trying to say that there are some big companies out there that don't really want us all to be a thriving, healthy community.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because we get fed all these chips and packet bullshit that keeps us wanting more and more and TV subscriptions and, you know, everything being fast and easily accessible, like – why don't we have posters on education on how to actually eat well and look after yourself? You know what I mean? Like there's sometimes we need to be mindful of what we consume on the radio, on TV, in the news, because it's just all putting us in a mindset of you must have a quick fix. You have to eat this McDonald's burger, you know, like all the advertising and marketing it's getting to us. But people are basically what I'm saying, there are a lot of people – making money off us being unhealthy.
Oh, 100%.
And they're not going to change.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's hard to actually have the education to go against all that because people think you're crazy if you go against the news and whatever's out there. It's deliberate. So then you seem like the crazy one. People think you're weird because you're trying to go on a health and wellness journey. It's all backwards. So I feel like I can understand why it would be hard for people to change because everyone in their right mind is trying to get us to stay unhealthy.
Yeah. I don't blame people for being confused.
It's confusing.
There's so much information out there and a lot of it's like...
brainwashing.
Just not... Again, there's going to be certain variables that matter the most and we're speaking about them now. A lot of the other little things don't really matter. I mean, I'm amazed at some of the advertisement that I see and I'm like, can you legally say that this stuff works?
It's all wordplay.
It's so weird. Like something, fat burners and stuff. I'm like, how can you legally label and sell this? How can you legally, like...
Because it makes money.
I don't understand it. Anyway, like,
or the five-star ratings on our foods is trash.
Yeah.
Like, I love Milo. I don't eat it anymore, obviously.
Yeah,
like,
I look at that one.
Milo gets a five-star rating, but then some bread or something else would get a lower rating.
Yeah.
It's like, how? Milo's like pure cocoa and sugar. Why is that five-star rating? Like, there's just, it's mixed messaging.
Yes, I completely agree. Being able to read food labels, fundamental. Like, I fundamental. If you look at ingredient lists on the back of a food, like, it's in order of what's most in the product. So, like you said, Milo, it is probably cocoa and sugar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, genuinely, the less ingredients, the better. And I think it's just so simple in saying it, 80-20. Like, 80% whole food, 20% soul food. Like, have your Milo and have some treats. Like, do that. It's part of having a healthy relationship with food is we need treats.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be, not rewarded, but we need to enjoy having some sweets.
Or if your mate offers you something, you're not going to be like, no, every time.
Better not. Yeah.
Thanks.
You need to be able to enjoy your food and do those things as well. But, yeah, I'm like a bit old school, but I just think like whole foods is always going to be best because a lot of these other foods, they also spike your appetite.
Yeah.
And you just want more and more because food companies are smart.
Yeah.
Right? They craft like – did you know, for example, that Coke has salt in it? To dehydrate you to drink more.
Ah, smart.
A lot of foods are designed so that you eat more and more. There's a reason why you can't just have like a handful of chips. All the salt.
No.
And, there's no protein in it. So like you're just hungry again. So it's just important to understand that in this day and age, we have to take control out of our own health. Like we have to take control of our own health. Because the system ain't doing it for us.
Go against the system.
The system. We have to take control and educate ourselves and find what works. And I do think that more people struggle with maintaining weight than the opposite. Like I know there's going to be a percentage of people that listen to this that are like, oh, I want to gain weight and I just want to gain muscle. And that's amazing.
Yes.
But the majority of the world struggle to stay within a healthy BMI or body fat percentage and just make smart, educated decisions and build basic habits. And I say that because, like, even in coaching, it's the majority of what people struggle with the most.
Yeah.
Is that simple concept.
Mm.
And there's so many little strategies and hacks that, you know, we've spoken about in the past that you can do, like frequent meal timing, not skipping breakfast, eating enough protein, like all those basic things. Yet people just go to the store and get fat burners. And they spend a fortune on this stuff. But like, the basics are what matters most.
Yes. Let's try and veer a little to the left now, back to our notes and go, okay.
Never.
I love our tangents. We started this one being like, it'll be a quick one.
Nah,
the time has nearly run out, but that's cool. So that's why tracking is really important. As you said, most people struggle with weight loss, but whether you're trying to put on weight as well, it's still important to track. Now, yes, a lot of people just say, oh, I'm tracking most things, but then they don't track the time that they were cooking dinner in the kitchen or baking something and they just licked the spoon or they just had a bite of their kid's cake or whatever they were eating.
Yeah.
All that stuff adds up.
It totally does. Yeah. Now in this day and age, like food volume or the amount of food that you eat does not correlate with how many calories or the energy in that food. Whereas back in the day it did.
Yeah.
Right? But because of farming and the evolution of everything, as you said, one square of chocolate can have like 200 calories in it or a chocolate bar, like, you know, basically more than a meal.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that. And that's why I believe that everyone should be able to read food labels and track their food accurately and do it consistently for a period of time to achieve a goal. Yep. Because then you've got the tools and the skills to be able to do that if you choose to do so. And you don't become a victim to, I've gained 10 kilos and I don't know why. Like, you know why.
You know why.
You know why. Right? It's not your hormones. Right? In certain periods, maybe it is for some people.
Look, if you have PCOS, different story.
And I'm not speaking to the menopausal crowd.
No, don't come at us.
But more often than not, a lot of the time it's going to come back down to energy balance, right? Yeah. And sure, hormones can affect that. Your appetite can also affect that. Mm. But when we've got the tools to at least understand calories and understand energy balance and also understand what you need to do to gain and lose body fat or body weight, you're empowered to be able to roll with those skills forever.
Yep.
So I do think that everyone should learn how to track their food, be consistent with it, weigh their food properly, and also do it in a way where it doesn't feel draining. Because if you use MyFitnessPal or tracking as like a way to organize your food for the week or your meals for the day, it becomes a tool rather than something that people just go, oh yeah, I better track that.
No, because then you need to pre-plan it if you're to do it well. Because then you wake up, you know everything that you're going to eat and it's not you guessing on the fly. And then by meal six, you're like, oh no, I can only have egg whites for dinner now. I've been caught in that position. It's the worst. It's like, oh, I only have protein left. Okay, I'll just put egg whites on a pan with no oil because you don't have fats left.
Yeah, we've totally done that. Not a situation most people never would again.
Never again.
Never again. But we only learnt that through tracking, right? We became aware of our habits and we also learnt, I will not do that again.
Never again.
I will
no.
eat consistent meals.
Egg whites. No.
Yes.
Breakfast,
yes.
Not dinner. Lucky last. Let's do it.
Lucky last is only focusing on nutrition to achieve a goal. And I know obviously nutrition's a big part of achieving any goal, but your training is also super important if you have body composition goals. As I mentioned, there is a difference between losing weight and improving your body composition. And I've seen a lot of women completely change their body composition and the scale does not change. Sometimes the scale goes up and it blows their mind. But I'm like, yes, weight loss and fat loss are two different things, right? Once you actually start training like an athlete, fueling your body properly and recovering as well, your body changes. It really does. You don't store all this fat in weird places. Like you're sleeping better. You have more confidence in what you're doing because you're keeping promises to yourself. You're noticing that your body's developing and you're looking more athletic and strong. And for a lot of the people that we probably work with, that's what they want. They don't just want to actually get lighter. They don't want to just become smaller humans. They want to change their body. And that's something I say. I'm like, do you want to become a smaller version of yourself? Oh, no, I don't. Great. Well, can we stop, like, please obsessing over this scale?
Yeah.
Like, can we do some measurements? Can you take some photos? Yeah. Can you look at your training videos? Like, look at the right metrics too, but then don't just obsess over your calories and your nutrition because I promise you won't achieve your goals if you do that.
But you know what fuels that? And there are some very popular accounts who do know what they're talking about, but one of their hooks at the start of their reels is like, you don't need training to lose weight. Training is a waste of time and weight loss. Yeah, I know. You probably know exactly who I mean. But it's like, okay, that's fine. But everything you just listed, what about the functionality of a human? What about injury prevention, injury rehab, being able to help around the house, being able to lift your kids, being able to play a sport that you love, walk the dog? Literally anything in life requires you to be able to move well. Why would we just divert that focus just onto becoming a smaller version of yourself? What about becoming the best, strongest, happiest, healthiest version of yourself? You still do need that training.
I have seen that. It's become such a trend.
It's just stupid. It's like,
you don't have to go to the gym. Yeah. I'm like, this sounds too good to be true. That. It is. Mm. It is way too good to be true. Because like you said, great, what if they get injured and then they can't even like stay on get their step target in because they get a sore lower back from walking all the time? You know, like we should be encouraging people to build our lifestyle and not just eat less and move more. It's so damaging and toxic for women anyways.
Just tell them to eat less.
Oh, it pisses me off. Yeah, I've seen that as well. I know exactly what you're talking about. But stress, sleep, recovery, just as important, right? Just as important. And I think it's so important to acknowledge that there's two parts of getting a result. There's the physical result and there's the experience of getting that result. And we need to tick the box in both because, as I mentioned, you can be incredibly lean, but the experience of getting there, it's not fulfilling. Mm. It doesn't actually scratch the itch and you're still just as miserable and you're not confident at all.
Yeah.
So we have to get the result, of course, but the experience of getting the result is just as important. And this means that you have to not only just trust the process, but enjoy the process. Enjoy the skills that you had to do and enjoy the things that you had to do on a daily basis to achieve that.
Yeah, that's so important, because if you get to that goal, people will be like, oh, wow, well done, you look great, blah, blah, blah. All the voices that you think that you wanted. But if you're miserable and you've just hated yourself for the past 12 weeks getting there, it's going to mean nothing.
Yeah.
And even more so, most people actually don't care, to be honest. Just do it for yourself and enjoy it, because to get those 3 compliments that you were busting your ass for, it's really not worth it, because they're just going to move on and not care in 1 second.
Yes.
Make it worth it for yourself.
And this is important. Can we please stop complimenting people for losing weight?
I know. It's a tricky one, isn't it, though? But imagine if you're on the weight loss journey and you're like, and then no one says anything. Or you just get a new haircut and no one says anything. It's kind of like that thing as well, though. You have to compliment.
There is ways of complimenting people where you don't have to acknowledge the weight loss.
Yeah.
I can see you've really been looking after yourself.
But then what if they haven't?
But if you're knowing that they're doing their journey and they're posting about it and sharing it, versus, because I've seen this all the time and I used to see it all the time as well in healthcare, where people have lost weight but they've got severe anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, and they're really wired all the time and they lose their appetite and they forget to eat. Yeah. And people, their friends are like, you look great. And they're like, I'm so unhealthy and miserable right now.
I could cry in any second.
Like
that happened to me after COVID. I came back into the gym. So I had after I had COVID, I had like a week off the gym, didn't leave the house. Oh no, went for little walks, got a bit of a suntan because I was bored. That's about it. And then I was like, wow, you look great. What have you been doing? I'm like, I've been sick in bed and not eating.
Yeah, it's not appropriate. No. It's not appropriate. Oh, it pisses me off. Please don't,
just say, how are you? You look great. And that's it.
Well, not curious even. First. Just ask what they've been up to. You know, check in on their physical and mental health before you give compliments and reinforce the wrong behavior. Because sometimes people don't mean to lose weight and it's linked to health-related things or mental health or illness that you might not even know about.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Just say, your hair looks great.
Yeah. Another one I used to see was especially in pregnancy, people are like, oh, when are you expecting?
No, I've learned to never say that.
All the time.
You never, ever say that.
Never. I don't fucking care if she's 37 weeks.
Literally.
Never make an assumption.
In your maternity ward. So your job is there to deliver her baby. You never even comment.
Never.
We've all made that mistake.
We've all made it. Yeah. But it's the same with anything. Just never make assumptions, especially about weight loss, because people are so, most people's body weight and body image is so correlated to their self-esteem.
Yeah.
And you've just got to be careful, because if you're reinforcing something, what's it teaching them? Telling them? And the opposite's true as well.
There you go. That's our little homework then, to compliment someone but nothing to do with their weight.
Compliment talk about anything and character.
Their outfit looks good.
You're glowing.
Glowing.
Whatever. Your hair looks great.
Fantastic. All right.
Yes,
good.
That's great. Well, anyways, just a little bit of a recap. A lot of people often don't make the physical progress that they would like, and there's very obvious reasons as to why a lot of people don't, but sometimes we're just in our own skin and we don't really know. So hopefully today we spoke about some things that maybe you'd considered in the past, or maybe no one's told you before, because there was a few of those. But either way, we hope that you can apply it to your own goals and make sure that you can get some momentum.
Yes, and please leave us a podcast review. We haven't really gotten many, to be honest. I know, but we would love it if you could put a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We love reading through them, and then it helps us reach more people as well. We just love sharing the positive vibes and, you know, educating and laughing along the way. So if you can give us a good review, then that'll be awesome.
Thanks, guys.
If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and hit follow so you can stay up to date with our podcast every week.